with bookies and I'll settle it. Cause I'm betting my friends and now I'm winning big. I just love to make money off my friends and shit. And I'm making so much money thanks to settle it.
You see,
I used to bet Will Hill, used to bet Ladbrokes, and I found you. I love to bet on cricket, rugby, tennis and football too. But where I bet, you know I never know, cause I'd always lose. I guess it's my loss after loss after loss, then it's round two. And then I saw this set it and I light this switch, saying come have fun once I make you rich. You can bet with me, bet against friends, bet against fam, bet against them. Who'd have known you'd have saved my life. And I bet and it changed my life. Thanks to Settle It.
You gotta download Settle It right now. Bet against family, friends, and have a bit of fun. Okay? We're reinventing and innovating the betting world. No longer lose money against the bookies, but win money for your friends and family. Download the app and bet against Archie Curzon now. His phone number is in the bio of this podcast. We'll give you all the money you want. Good luck.
More lies. A bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to an incredibly special episode of the Rigbiz podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and today we have some real treats in store for you.
I will not cease from mental fight, nor shall my sword sleep in my hand till we have built Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land.
Archie, are you on the first tripping caffeine pills again?
Mate, I'm sorry. I'm absolutely pumped. Alton Internationals are back this weekend. I'm back at HQ. Going to go there with the boys and have a shed load of vodka, lime and soda waters and watch England annihilate a Tongan side and then go on the absolute razzle-dazzle.
Well, talking about big piss-ups, mate. Last weekend. We had Halloween.
Mate, by the way, can I just say,
yeah, go on.
I'm in a seriously good mood.
And why?
Well, had a phenomenal weekend. Halloween weekend is possibly one of my favourite weekends in Clapham.
Well, you must be quite depressed it's over now.
Yeah, I am, because I always feel like Clapham do Halloween bloody well. We know how to dress up. We know how to have a good time.
So tell us what happened Saturday.
Saturday, obviously, we're not playing at the moment. We've got a break for Oldham Internationals. I'm still injured. But actually, me and Stretch, which is the Clapham Falcons lock, he's actually just got back from Singapore. One of the most capped locks in the Clapham Falcons.
Why is he called Stretch?
Well, you think it's because he's bloody tall because he plays lock, but it's not. It's because his foreskin actually goes a mile.
Oh my god,
it's actually really, really good banter when
he does
disgusting.
It. So you and Stretch
balance,
out on the town.
He can balance 10 10p's on his foreskin.
Oh god, Archie. Yeah. This is meant to be slightly PC.
Mate,
this
I'll
show.
Show you a video after this.
No, please
really
don't. Please don't. So you and Stretch out in the town.
I went as a zombie Baywatch lifeguard. So
a
just,
zombie Baywatch
yeah,
lifeguard?
Yeah, just in a pair of budgie smugglers, sliders, had the full shat out, covered the whole shat in like white paint and red. Didn't do the face because I was on the pool. Me and Stretch had a bloody good pre-lash. We saw off a couple of cases of more lash lager, played a lot of beer pong, and then we just headed down to Inferno's and saw off the night, mate. Really good night.
Successful?
I had a lot of good chat with a lot of good people.
Successful?
In
there. Why not?
Didn't speak to many cheekers in the club. I was just really enjoying the boys in there.
Yeah.
There was one guy in there that I didn't realise was going to be in there, and me and him just really hit it off. He was also topless. And I just got into this mad conversation about CrossFit, which I won't go into, but it was fascinating.
Right, but did you have enough time to go and talk to some cheekers and maybe bring someone home for living with the land?
Talking to this guy about CrossFit, I pretty much, before I knew it, it was the end of the night.
Oh, shit.
So just got half a chicken, Stretch got a whole chicken, and then we headed back to mine and we just sat there just talking. We were quite pissed. There were a few, we were talking like about all the girls in there that we saw. That we didn't actually talk to, which is really annoying. Actually, a bit of a regret. Cloders, yeah. Before we get into this interview, obviously you know at the moment I'm currently injured, and also we've got this break for international rugby. Mm-hmm. Wasn't selected, disappointing. But I've actually been working with a breathing therapist to give me that extra 1-2% in the city, but also on the pitch.
So on and off the pitch.
Yeah. You actually know.
Do I?
Darren Goff's wife, Anna Goff.
Anna Goff.
She is my personal breathing expert.
Oh God, not many people have those.
Well, I always thought I was a very good breather.
Yeah.
As you know, it's on my CV.
Yeah.
I want to bring her on, Clody.
Okay.
Because I think it will help the listeners, you know, whatever they're doing. They're trying to finish off their Q4.
Yep.
They're trying to get to the heights that I've got to on the rugby field. I think Anna will be able to help them. So should we just bring her on and just have a bit of banter?
Let's get her on. Anna, how have you been? Last time we saw you, we were sort of ripping it up large in your garden.
We
having
went
a wonderful
for
barbecue.
A monumental ash at Monsieur and Madame Goff's house.
You looked amazing, actually. You're better in the flesh.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I really am.
That's good to hear.
I really am.
Right, in fact, Trudy sends her love.
Yeah, she was a smoking hot chica from the village.
Chica. Yeah.
Could have taken her back.
There were lots of ladies there, but then a lot of them were family of the Goffs, and you didn't want to misbehave too much.
No. I plan on joining the Goff family in some way, but probably through like a second cousin or a niece or something.
What got you interested in this wonderful world of helping people, I should say?
I've always practiced sort of various holistic modalities, if you want to use that word, because, you know, I speak very openly about the fact that I am a massive overthinker.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an overthinker or a warrior.
It's an affliction. You know, I can struggle with anxiety, which is particularly uncomfortable. It's rife at the moment all over the world, sadly, you know.
It's like COVID.
Yeah, exactly. It's a new pandemic.
Yeah. You can't catch it, though, can you?
You can. Everyone has it.
Jesus, kiss. I better be worried about kissing chicas in infernos. I don't want to be catching anxiety. Yeah, that's the last thing I write.
There'll be loads of them with anxiety in there.
Oh, God, yeah.
So no, I just took it on. So I was doing it I started off doing Wim Hof because of, you know, the whole COVID thing. I thought, okay, what can I do to really sort of keep my immune system going? And then I just decided to get the qualification.
Anna, who's Wim Hof? Is he the outside centre for Northampton?
Not Wim Hof. No, it's Wim Hof.
Oh, right. Who's that?
Do you not know who Wim Hof is?
No, I have no idea. Sorry, I'm just going to say I'm a Tory and I'm pretty, you know, I don't believe in any of this left-wing stuff. So you're going to have to explain it to me.
I'm a Tory too, but, you know, let's not get too political. And now I'm moving on, which actually will be really good for you too, because I'm starting something called the Oxygen Advantage, which is very good for stamina and endurance.
Oh, wow.
I think if you speak to many of the ladies who have come back to me, I've got phenomenal stamina. I can watch a Lions DVD. I can watch two in a row without blink, you know, without getting sleepy.
Oh my God. Post night out.
Yeah. So I've got a phenomenal stamina. Yeah.
But not great endurance. That's your problem.
In endurance, I get overexcited. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So not long then.
No.
Well, I don't know what we're talking about.
No.
I mean, it doesn't take me long to do business. No, okay. You know that's one of the things I'm most well known about. You know, I go in the net. It's a quick in and out.
I'm going to do score on you. I'm going to test out your strength. I'm going to put you on the spot.
What is the science behind the madness, as it were? What takes Archie Curzon from an 8 out of 10 to a 10?
Probably just a couple of vodka, lime and sodas.
Yeah, and a spritz, under the armpits. That will help
you. Anna has witnessed me going from an 8 to a 10, takes a couple of cans of more lash, and I'm on fire. Brrr, with the banter.
And Trudy chatting you up.
Right, well, guys, let's get back on track. Anna, can you explain the kind of techniques to improve your breathing, why we should do it, and also the test that we're going to do on Archie?
There's very simple techniques that are put in place to make you tolerant to carbon dioxide. Because when we have that floating around in our bodies and too much of it, and we do need it, but if there's too much of it, that's when we get this overbreathing going on and everything sort of goes wrong and our endurance and our stamina isn't at its best capacity. So
I like going to hot yoga in Clapham Common, mainly because there are some seriously smoking hot chicas there. And it's a great place to get my rig out and show my flexibility. But actually, I mean,
you take your top off.
Yeah, I'd take any chance to take my top off, I will.
You do,
and
yeah.
When you're in hot yoga...
I'm really gutted though, Archie, because you didn't take it off when you were here.
Listen, Anna, like I said, I didn't want all the ladies around there getting excited. You know, when... And a lot of girls will tell you this at Infernos. When I take my top off, something happens in the air. And it's hard. I mean, the problem is that when I take my top off, then, you know, this weird thing happens. A chica ends up coming back to my house. And this is probably where I could use your breathing technique. Because when I'm making love, you know, my breathing is out of sync. Yeah, because I'll give you an example.
I mean, you've got to go deep and slow.
Not, yeah, so
deep
I,
and slow, Archie.
I know. I
not
normally
fast
go.
And shallow.
Ha, 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 ha. That's the noises I make. And that's a mixture of pleasure, but I'm also trying to improve my breathing technique.
I think that's the problem, Archie. You're not focused enough.
The best experience I ever had was with this girl called Buffy Barry when I was 15.
We didn't
actually have intercourse, but we had a serious dry hump, and my breathing was a lot better there. My breathing was ha ha ha.
Your voice unbroken or
no? I felt like my breathing was better because I was more controlled. I was able to get to that note, and actually. I like to, I suppose I like to sing in a way while I make love. Oh, ha, okay.
And that helps you last longer? Or what does it do?
Yeah, I mean, it helps me keep in rhythm, Freddie. You know,
okay.
Ha, 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 ha.
Right.
They call me the vibrator.
They do call you the vibrator.
Yeah, and that's how
I've heard this on your past. Yeah, yeah, that sounds intriguing.
That's how I finish off.
That does make perfect sense, to be honest, Archie.
Yeah. So it's actually when you're there and you're with me, and it's very special, very.
I can
very
imagine.
Nice.
Well, it was a pleasure to be there.
Yeah.
But Anna, can you give Archie some feedback and how we can improve? I mean, obviously, we're going to do some things live. I was hoping that you could do a couple of, I don't know, can we do a little bit of training, some techniques? Is there anything we can do through a camera?
I want to check Archie's bolt score. So
okay, let's go. Let's go for it.
Be prepared for me to break records.
Body oxygen level test. Right, now what? You mustn't speak, okay?
That's going to be bloody hard for me.
Right, I'm going to get my timer on. There's no right or wrong. It might be that if you do it less, it's better. It might be if you go on longer, it's better. So I'm not going to give you the answer. But as soon as you feel the urge to breathe, the immediate urge to breathe, not where you're going, you've got to then start breathing again and breathe normally. And then I'll tell you how fit you are. And then pinch your nose and hold your breath after the exhale so you've got no air in your lungs. And as soon as you get the urge, you breathe.
A few moments later.
He's gone. Okay. All right. So you did very well because you were over 25, so you're okay. But you can improve. If you can get to 40 seconds, you're brilliant.
So what does that mean? Where is he on the scale?
Where am I on that scale?
So you're above, if you're below 25, you're breathing abnormally and you're not getting an equal oxygen exchange into your body.
Ooh.
So by you being over 25, you're... breathing exchange is normal.
Okay.
I'm above average.
You're a healthy, young, fit man. No, you're average. You're average.
I'm above average.
You're still just average.
You're still just average. You're an average bloke. I feel like I'm having a conversation
with my father again.
Anna, we can't wait for you to come down to Clapham. We're going to organise the most wonderful evening for you. So please let us know when you can come down.
Anna, will you come back on and do some more breath work?
Yeah, but we'll get some... I'll do some specific ones that will, obviously work on your stomach. Because I think it needs working on, Archie.
So do I.
I hate to tell you that.
Well, I don't know.
You're not good enough.
You ask a lot of the ladies that come back, like, ha, 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 ha. You know, they love it.
Okay. Well, Anna, thank you so much for coming on. You've been absolutely wonderful. Archie,
Anna,
the most wonderful lady in your life is on the screen. What do you have to say to her?
Love and champagne. Love and champagne.
It's been a pleasure, Anna. You're welcome.
Well, Archie, that was interesting. I mean, you obviously brought her on to show off the fact that you're a high performer, but she kind of embarrassed you. She said you're just average.
No. You just don't get her banter. That's very...
I don't think that's her banter.
Do you not think it is?
No, she was going by a scientific method.
If it's not, then I will have to sack her.
So, Archie, we are bringing on another huge name to the podcast.
We're doing it
Anna
again.
Goff is great, but we are bringing on an even bigger name.
Who? Darren Goff.
No, the fans said we need someone a bit more rugged. We need someone a bit more naughty, a bit more. So we're bringing on
Danny
a legend.
Danny Sibrioni.
No, I wish. Mr. Okay. Matt Stevens.
Wow, that is a name.
Bath, Toulon, two-times British and Irish Lion, England. Seen it all, won it all, done it all, and he's also seen some bad sides of life as well.
I tell you what, I'm going to kick him into chat and see what he's got.
Let's bring him in. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Firstly, obviously a crazy summer of rugby. Lions up against the box and the Lions failed miserably. But does that go down as the most boring rugby series ever created?
It seemed like the most awkward rugby series that had ever been created. I remember Durban in the Lions series, they drank Durban dry of beer, and now it didn't even seem that it happened here.
Sus, just so we know, Sus. Mate. Just so we know. I mean, if you were on that kind of tour, would you have enjoyed it? Because it looked like it was pretty dry. It looked like Owen Farrell was running the social events in the hotel, and that's mainly why we withdrew from the Lions tour. I didn't want to do any more Yorkshire-based or North England-based rugby quizzes with Owen Farrell, so I decided not to go. But it looked like there wasn't much lash happening, and I thought that's mainly part of the Lions tour, isn't it? Going out, enjoying it, having some banter.
Listen, especially me, who was basically picked mainly for his social prowess, you know?
Yeah, that's mainly why I decided not to pursue the professional game. I actually foresaw this coming, that this, you know, this professionalism was going to take place.
You foresaw a global pandemic.
And that's why I play semi-pro. You know, I make the coin in the city, but I play rugby to a fairly high standard in the home of Rugby Clapham.
Yes, you do.
And I get to enjoy the lash. I get enjoy the culture.
I completely agree with you. I think I was born in the wrong era.
Yeah.
You know, I think I would have been much better around the kind of Brian Moore era.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Margaret Thatcher era. That would have been my absolute, you know, exactly. Dream. Yeah.
But Maddie, you know, talking about the wrong era, you know, still, you made your debut for the Lions in 2005, went on two tours, 2005-13. I'm guessing 2005, things were a bit more loose than even 2013. I mean, that was still the bridge between old and new school, wasn't it?
You talk about the what went down on those tours. That Australian tour was amazing because Mumford & Sons just brought out Little Lion Man. I don't know if you remember that.
Man, love that song.
You know, all the boys were singing it as well. It became a kind of unofficial anthem. They didn't let us play it on that Living with the Lions. What was it called? The last one, anyway.
Oh, the last one. It was brilliant.
They're all great. They're all great. It's my favourite film is Living with the Lions. And then the one that you're in, 2013, is my second favourite.
With Alex Corbusiero. He's beatboxing. Stevens is singing.
Yeah, and that is actually one of my favourite things to do is take a girl back from Inferno's and then just chuck that on and that gets them in the mood.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great.
Maddie, if I can just take you back to the Lions quickly, 2013 and 2005, obviously, you have to room with people that you may have been enemies with, you may have hated on the pitch. So who were you most surprised by when you roomed with them on either of those tours? Somebody you thought, damn it, we're not going to get on. And then actually, a couple of days later, a couple of beers in, you're loving each other.
Having thought about it, I mean, Johnny Wilkinson was an interesting one because we're polar opposites, you know, in the way we have approached things. And I had a really like good couple of weeks with him. He started playing the guitar. He started playing the guitar on that tour. And like Johnny does, he became obsessive compulsive about it. And then, you know, 5 years later, he's like can play flamenco guitar and speak Spanish.
Jeez.
Yeah, he was an interesting one. He was a very deep guy, but a great guy to have like one of those conversations with. Obviously, he didn't lash very much, but was his... I didn't see myself enjoying rooming with him, but I did.
It's like meeting someone on your gap year backpacking and you come across some guy who's, you know, is called almost like shaman like Johnny Wilkinson, and then becoming he will become your therapist and also, you know, he's extremely well read. But he's not going to be great on a night out.
Maddie, talking about past Lions teammates, 2013, obviously one of your best mates on that tour was the wonderful Brad Barrett, who's an old friend of yours from back in the day, growing up in South Africa. But it's thanks to you that Brad is still with us. So can you explain to our listeners the story behind how you essentially saved his life?
Well, have you seen Brad's bone structure? I mean, it's basically half like half man, half Neanderthal, and his bone density is such that he sinks to the bottom of any pool that he gets into. He was at the same school as me. He was a junior in the school. I was in what we call matric, which is probably like GCSE. And I was reffing a water polo game. And I don't know why Brad would get it into his head that he should ever consider playing water polo. But he got in the pool and he took a little knock to the face, which he's very good at, as we know. Yeah. And he sunk to the bottom of the pool. I noticed that he wasn't coming up. And I jumped in and pulled him to the side. And he's forever grateful to me.
Has he given you a percentage of his wages since then?
I should have something left in his will to me, you know?
Yeah. Let me be the mediator. I work in the city, so I can sort that out. I can probably get you 5-10%, and then I will take 10% of that.
You take a cut of that.
It makes good business.
It does. Maddie, just to finish on the lines, obviously Archie, he withdrew his name for selection when Danny Kerr didn't make this squad.
Kerr's a great friend of mine.
And, you know, you said earlier that you were a bit surprised to come on because you were more of a social player, especially 2013, I mean, an 8-year gap between your first tour. So can you tell us how that moment came about? I mean, people often speak really, you know, incredibly strongly about that moment they find out they're a Lion again. So what was your moment like in 2013?
Yeah, it was very odd because obviously I'd retired from international rugby, so I wasn't expecting it at all. I'd been in South Africa on holiday. I was in the airport. And I got a phone call, didn't know what the number was, but picked up anyway. And Gats was on the other end. I didn't understand why I was getting a call from him. I thought it might even be a prank call. But anyway, I went with it. And he said, Maddie, I know you've retired, but we think you'd be a really good fit. You play tight head and loose head, and you know, you're mostly a good bloke. So So it was like a bizarre question to be asked as you're kind of wheeling a pram along in the airport. But it wasn't a difficult decision, obviously. Yeah. I mean, I said yes right away. And then got on the flight, flew over back into Heathrow, and I'm on the train going back into London, Heathrow Express going back into London, and they are announcing the team on the screen in the train going back to London. So
nice.
And right now, because it's pretty surreal, right? I'm not quite sure that phone call actually happened. I'm a little bit jet lagged. It's a very bizarre thing to see your face pop up on the Heathrow Express coming in and saying that you've been picked in the Lions squad.
I can only dream of that. That would be my dream.
Yeah, but you don't take the Heathrow Express there, do you?
No.
You take private
cab.
Yeah. Matt, we've heard that, you know, South African rugby school is obviously where you grew up, born in Durban, can be pretty brutal when it comes to everything, really, training, fitness, commitments, you know. But obviously, something else which is sort of factored into that is initiations. So can you remember what was yours like in a Durban rugby school growing up?
Oh, my word, that's a good question. Mine was horrendous. Because, like, South Africa is generally, like, 15 to 20 years behind. You know, you had fags at school or juniors that carry your books and polish your wake you up with coffee and that kind of thing when I was at school. It sounds like draconian and
no,
odd, but
that happens in my office now.
At Eton or something like that. Yeah. So, okay. It still happens, but it's frowned upon, right? It doesn't happen as much anymore.
It's a shame, really.
Completely. But yeah, so our initiation was horrendous. You basically were stripped naked. I mean, you stripped yourself naked. You weren't stripped naked. You had to shave every hair on your body except your head, because there were rules around that. So your eyebrow and your arms.
This sounds like my morning routine. There's nothing wrong with this so far.
But then you had to take deep peat in the cup of your hand, and then cup your balls with the deep peat.
Yeah.
Right. So this is all a kind of prolonged torture, really, because now you've got deep peat on your balls, you're shaved, and then you have to wait outside this room where the rest of the senior players are sitting in the room, and they ask you to come in one at a time. So the first guy is obviously in the best position because he can get that deep peat off his balls as quickly as possible. But you go into the room and you get a lash from every one of the senior players in the team. And at my school, the the lashing stick was called On Tap. And
jeez.
And you, I was, it's very homoerotic, this whole
thing. Honestly, sounds great. I'm considering bringing this into my office for the people who join our company. I mean, nothing you said there is, it doesn't sound wrong at all. It sounds great. I mean, the only thing I do differently is I spray DP under my armpits, but I just, because I think it smells great. But I mean, yeah, I might try the balls. It sounds great. I sometimes wonder when I look in the mirror naked after shaving myself whether I have Afrikaans in my blood.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident you don't. I'm pretty
confident. My bone density is incredible.
Well,
that's on my CV. That's on my CV.
Is it?
Yeah, my bone density is incredible.
Commercial break.
You can't have my business. No, because I'm divorcing your mom. Why didn't I have daughters? I'm just this annoying, idiotic son. You're the saddest runt I ever met. And you can bet before we're through that your cousin, I'll make a man out of you. You're as stupid as your mother, but without her grace. I'm sending you to boarding school. Just get out my face. You're a spineless, pale, pathetic shit, and you haven't got a clue. Archie cousin, daddy's gonna make a man out of you.
World Cup Final 2007. You're facing against old friends of yours, I'm guessing, guys from the country of your birth.
I was there.
People you grew up with. You were there?
Paris, yeah, I was there.
You were there.
I drove to Paris thinking that Benders was going to get me a ticket to the final, but he didn't play.
Yeah.
And his phone seemed to be turned off the whole time. I was there, but
sorry. Oh, yeah, no, I do remember that. That was, you never made it into this. You were arrested, weren't you?
Yeah.
Matt, World Cup final, what was it like playing against your boys? And also, can you tell us what happened between yourself and Bakis Botha during that match? I mean, there was a bit of back and forth. There was a bit of, I don't know, hoo-haing going on. What actually went on?
This is one of those things that's a bit blurry, whether it was that game or the first game. You know, when you play tight-head prop, you're caught in between your hooker and their loose head. So you're sandwiched, right? So you can't go anywhere. Your face is basically a punching bag. And back in those days, they didn't have fancy cameras, or at least they hadn't got them to the position where they could see right under the scrum. So I think Bucky's had decided very early on that he was going to teach this Soti traitor a lesson. And he would, at every scrum, right through the game, come through with a flying fist and... basically give me a minor concussion. And then eventually it started to spit my cheek and I started to bleed. And as you say, I know some of the guys on the other side. I grew up with Butch James, and John Smith was a good mate of mine. And John had turned to Bucky's and he said, listen, Bucky's, he's had enough. You've made your point. And Bucky's turned to him and in Afrikaans said, no, Gappy. Noch Ian. So that one more.
Jesus Christ.
That is terrifying.
It is what it is. I mean, I think it'd be very frowned upon now. I think he was quite impressed that I kept on taking the punishment.
Although not victorious, and talk about nights out, how did the squad celebrate that night in Paris? Because I hear there are quite a few famous and rather annoying guests involved.
Keen.
You used to love that band, didn't you?
Yeah, again, great band. They're up there with Nickelback.
Yeah.
Prince Harry, James Bond.
Oh, Daniel Craig.
Prince William was there. So it was a group of, you know, royals and various things. And we went to, I think it was VIP. Do you know VIP?
Yeah, VIP Paris, yeah.
No, the VIP area in Infernos, but don't know VIP area in Paris.
No, it's a club called VIP.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take you there.
Weird that you're saying that you saw Daniel Craig, because I actually thought I saw him on Clapham Common the other day.
Really?
Yeah, I saw a guy who looked exactly like him. He was just an old bloke. He was just in really good shape. But again, interesting.
He's a good looking man.
Yeah,
he's
very, very good looking bloke.
What were the Royals like on that night? And what was that guy from Keane like? Was he incredibly annoying? Was he a nice guy?
I thought Harry and William were very down to earth, pretty like starstruck by some of the players, not me, obviously, but the, you know, we had, you know, Johnny there and Delalio, like some greats of the game, 2003 World Cup winners. So, you know, they were a bit, I felt a little bit starstruck, and they were quite humble and polite. I think they generally are, those lads. And I remember having a conversation with Tom from Keane, and him comparing his his fame to Harry and William, like
wow,
they have comparable like level of fame.
Oh,
that, no, I said, listen, mate, I don't think you're in that like stratosphere. you need to calm down. Yeah, but then he was good after that. He had a good night.
Sounds like something you'd say.
Yeah, well, I do sometimes know how it feels to be a royal, especially when I go shopping in Waitrose in Clapham. Everyone wants a piece of me. Can you do a video? Can you wish my brother happy birthday? Yeah, I can, for a fee. Head to thrills.co.uk, where you can pay £45 for a personalised video.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Matt, obviously 2009 was a tough year for you, but you took time out the game. Is it correct that you then started competing in Brazilian jiu-jitsu at World Cups internationally? I mean, surely that can't be true.
Yeah, it's true. I spent 2 years off, as we know, and I trained, and I needed something to, you know, to keep up my conditioning, and got into Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And London is like a hotbed. London and the UK have some great practitioners. Competed in the British Championships and won. And then decided I was going to go to the States, to California, to train with more of these like really good guys. And ended up wanting to like take part in the World Championships. So, wow. But which I didn't do as well in. I won my first round, and then I didn't get tapped out, which is, you know, choked or armbarred or that kind of thing. But I lost in the second round to the guy who won it, though.
There you go.
He won.
Yeah, he won. Put that down. We should get a soundbite.
Don't edit that bit out, yeah. Maddie, after that jiu-jitsu wonderful sort of, you know, experiment, and a successful experiment, I must say, you then managed to go and play for the two best teams in Europe, in Saracens and Toulon. Apparently, when you moved to France, some of the English players have said, you're just appalled by, like, the amount they eat, the amount they smoke. Like, apparently, at least half the team. You played for the greatest Toulon team ever. And apparently, well, I'm guessing half the squad smoked, did they?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I smoke, so...
Yeah, fair play.
I mean, yeah. A lot of my semi-pro rugby team, we smoke when we drink.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't. I'm an athlete. I'm into CrossFit in a big way.
Matt, you're obviously a very charitable man. You raise a lot of money, and you managed to get an invite to possibly the most famous man who's ever lived in the last 100 years, Mr. Nelson Mandela. So can you tell us, you know, what that experience was like?
Yeah, it's just quite crazy to be able to do that, because there really was this kind of, and it was at a time where he wasn't seeing a lot of people. I rocked up with my dad through the security, and you can imagine how much security is around him. He was an old man by then, passing me in the corridor with Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Like,
whoa. But, you know, I mean, just the level of, you know, who comes to see this guy. It was a bit like a dream, really. I sat down next to him like you would your grandfather. And that's what he's called, Tata. Like his nickname is Tata, which is kind of elder, grandfather. But it's his nickname to everyone. Obviously, he's the kind of father of our country. And sat down next to him, and he held my hand. We chatted for 10, 15 minutes. He spoke about my grandfather. My grandfather and him had met up during apartheid. He was a businessman, met up with Nelson Mandela, and they discussed, you know, the changeover, the change of power, those kinds of things. He remembered him. He had this in his eye. It felt like I was speaking to my grandfather and Nelson Mandela at the same time. And yeah, it was an extremely special time.
Does he have jab, or does he have no jab? Does he have jab, or does he have no jab? Does he have jab, or does he have no jab? Gonna ask those questions now. Does he have
right,
jab?
We'll kick off with Andy Farrell.
No chat.
Johnny Wilkinson.
No chat.
Owen Farrell.
No chat.
Mauro Itoje.
No chat.
Charles Olivant.
Chat.
Matt Gitto.
Chat.
The Armitage Brothers.
No chat.
Matteo Bestero.
No chat.
Nonu.
No chat.
James O'Connor.
No chat.
Oh my God. Well, that is the highest score we've ever had on no chats. Matt, just to finish off, we're going to quickly ask you, if you could go back in your playing career now, because obviously you're now doing wonderful, making a lot of money in property over in South Africa, which is, you know, I'm sure your grandfather, who's a wonderful businessman, would be very proud. But the moment you'd want to relive over and over again during your playing days.
Oh, wow. Okay. Can I have two, or it has to be one?
You can have two because
of
Nelson Mandela.
You've got the chat.
Because of Nelson Mandela.
If you were, let's say, Rhys Priestland or Ollie Pope, yeah, you would have to, or Monty Panesar, we'd say, listen, let's cut this short. Okay, two.
It was the World Cup in 2007. It wasn't the final, and it wasn't even the semi-final. It was the quarter-final against Australia because we had been completely written off. And playing in the Velodrome in Marseille is an experience that is so visceral, you can never forget it. Driving up to the stadium, you had the gendarme, the secret police, like kicking the crowd out of the way. Everyone was booing England. They were smashing the side of the bus. They were pushing the side of the bus. It was like just this electric atmosphere of it's us against the world here. And Australia are sat there thinking they can beat us, but we've got a plan. And the scrum featured heavily on that day. I think Andy Sheridan probably played the best game of his life. We ended up having this incredible game that went right down to the wire and completely shocking the world. And then it's probably the best party I've had after a game that we played. We all were led out onto the kind of Marseille harbour. There was a guy there, an Australian guy who invited us onto a super yacht. We had this incredible night out. We were, you know, just full of like joie de vivre. What had happened that day was so unexpected and so incredible. And then the best thing happened. New Zealand lost to France in the final. And we were watching it with all the French people in the harbour. And I mean, for me, whenever New Zealand lose, because they never lose, it's just a fantastic day. The second thing, the second was obviously never. I played in at Bath. I played in two Premiership finals and lost them both. And obviously got banned and then came back into rugby and had this incredible year with an incredible group of people at Saracens and was. You know, I played that whole year and we didn't lose a game from the day I played to that final. And we beat Leicester by the skin of our teeth. But it was just this incredible culmination of a whole kind of 4-year period for me that was, you know, very difficult.
Well, Matt, you've been absolutely incredible. Let us know when you're over in London. And until then, good luck with all the ventures. You've been absolutely wonderful.
So it's great to see you. Take it easy, mate.
Yes, thanks, guys. Thanks.
Mr. Matt Stevens, what an absolute legend.
Yeah, a little gem. We found a little gem in South Africa and we've dug him out and we've brought him over here to the UK and we're going to sell him for a lot of money.
Want to see you in the clubhouse. Want to see you in the clubhouse. I want to hear your most embarrassing stories you've told it.
Archie, it is now time. I'm sorry for your favourite section.
Yes, please. Clubhouse. Gonna see you in the clubhouse.
Yes, it's time.
Gonna see you in the clubhouse.
Yeah,
you
gotta hear about your embarrassing stories.
You bloody are.
I always see you in there.
Yeah, yeah. Get on with it, mate, because I cannot wait. This is still my favourite section of the podcast.
Well, we've got an email from a certain Hamish Glover today.
Glovesy!
And he says the following. Good day, gents. I hope my correspondence finds you well.
Oof. That is a way to open up an email.
Really,
this guy probably works in a high profile job.
My story starts as a mere freshman many moons ago in the stunning city of Liverpool.
Oh dear. Okay.
As a younger
is there a university in Liverpool?
I don't know. There must be.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
First you've heard of it. Yeah.
To be fair, if this guy's working in the city, he's done bloody well to come from Liverpool and to get a high profile job.
As a younger man, I had the slick back locks, reminiscent of a certain Senor Cousins.
Yeah.
I had some fairly whiffy chat with the ladies.
To be fair, I get a lot of comments about my hair, and I'm hoping, fingers crossed, at this crisp, we're going to release some hair products.
That's ridiculous. I had some fairly whiffy chat with the ladies.
Whiffy?
Yeah, and
that's
unfortunately...
That's quite niche banter.
I was sorry.
Whiffy. We have quite a lot of whiffy chat.
Yeah, we do, actually. I don't think it's a bad thing. And unfortunately, I was most certainly lacking coin.
Oh, no. His parents can afford to give him money at university.
A group of around 10 of us were on a night out for my friend's birthday, and we ended
How many?
10 of us.
Wow, that's going to be a good night. 10 of you. That's my ideal number for a night out.
And we ended up in a...
I love when there's like 10 of us out, because there's 10 different conversations I can have, and that will accumulate. Let's say you have 10 minutes per person. That's 100 minutes of the night. You're going to have some seriously good chat.
Yeah, well, we ended up in a VIP booth.
Oh, yeah. That every time I'm out with my 10 mates, we're always in the VIP section. Won't be able to stop us. Even if they say it's full, we're getting in there.
That just
and we will absolutely dominate the VIPs. I'll tell them. I'll be like, look, mate, I have 55,000 followers on Instagram.
Out the way. Well, this VIP...
Are they still in the VIP section?
Well, they're just getting in. And okay. It's just been vacated by the rappers Krept and Conan.
Don't know who they are.
Me neither. But it was a fairly swanky establishment. Whilst occupying the booth, we all thought it would be great.
Hold on. Are those guys like Keenan and Kel?
Sound like it, don't they?
Right, okay.
Yeah. Whilst occupying the booth, we all thought it would be a great idea to pretend to be famous sportsmen.
But they're not.
No, they're not.
They're not. They're university students.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Who came up with that idea?
I think Hamish.
Oh, my God. This guy's crazy.
In particular, we're all...
Hold on. Can you write that down? Because when I'm out with my other 10 mates, I'm going to do that.
In particular...
But actually, I am quite famous, but they can pretend.
In particular, we're all posing with the ugliest mate, pretending he was a famous rugby player. He's built like a front rower, but has worse pitter-patter.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I'd love to go out with Jamie George.
I took it upon myself to saunter around the edge of the booth, prowling for cheekers, wondering who I'd pretend to be if one caught my attention. At that very moment, one grabbed my arm and claimed she recognised me. Seizing the opportunity, I raised an eyebrow and replied, "Do you recognise me off TV?" To which she seemed slightly perplexed. "You must have seen me playing football on the telly. I play for Liverpool." She said,
"No, but he doesn't."
"I'm not sure what you mean," she replied. I thought bollocks to it. In for a penny, in for a pound. "My name is Adam Lallana. Liverpool centre mid, it's nice to meet you." I'd lied, thinking my long locks, a famous name, and her beer goggles would combine into a confirmed love-making session.
Yeah.
A lengthy pause followed. "Aren't you just Hamish from my degree?"
Oh my God. He didn't recognise, but they actually do the same degree.
Stunned into silence, I could do nothing but embrace that. My pants had been pulled firmly from around my ankles and stapled to the floor. I confessed that it was indeed me, Hamish, from her degree.
And he's not famous again. Oh no.
Moral of the story, get a shit haircut, stay silent, and pretend to be George Ford.
Yeah, that's a nice way to finish it. And he's actually true. I'm going to give that 4 out of chat.
4 out of chat.
It's not bad. What I liked about it, he's very similar to me. He loves going out with like his 10 mates. I that's my favorite night out, is like when I'm with all my 10 mates.
Okay, 4 out of chat.
I've got more than that, by the way.
Do you?
But that's the perfect number.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to put your money where your mouth is as we listen to Archie Curtis' tips of the week before taking him on Unsettle It. Download the app now.
So, Archie, it's now time for a little prediction bet against Archie section. Bought in partnership with Settle It, who are innovating the way we bet. No longer are you betting against a bookie, but you can bet against friends and also Archie Curzon himself.
Cheeky little section cheeky little bet.
Yeah. It is very, very cheeky.
I've been loving it, mate. I've been betting against all the boys in the Clapham Falcons. And actually, random people that you've given my number to are now betting me on the Settle It app.
Make money.
Brilliant. Yeah, I haven't lost money, put it that way.
Oh my God, you're very good at gambling.
I'm just really good at rugby.
Well, you must be enjoying everyone having a number as well.
Absolutely loving my number being out there. It's brilliant to get texts and phone calls all weekend at all hours of the day. You never feel alone. That's the best thing about it.
Well, I think this week people should send a text with their name and then we can send them invites to bet against us. So if you have the number, which I'll read out now.
0755-286-9311.
You can bet against Archie Curzon. So Archie, now we're going to look at the weekend's fixtures for the Autumn Nations.
Yes,
and I know how excited you are for those.
I love the Autumn Internationals.
You really do. Well, to kickstart...
It's my third... favorite international weekend.
Okay, yeah. So it's up there. Well, this week we're kicking off with Ireland versus Japan.
Tough one.
Really tough.
Look, one thing I know about the Japanese is they are phenomenal at doing business. So I'm actually going to go with Japan this
You
weekend.
Go with the cherry blossoms. Yeah, yeah. Fair play, they're looking good. Yeah. Then we got Italy versus New Zealand.
I'm probably going to go with Italy. Oh, that is the kind of chat I'll be having this weekend. I'll go into the pub and I'll be like, boys, just put a tenner down Italy. And they'll be like, what? I was like, oh, only joking. No, I'm going with New Zealand.
Okay, you get New Zealand. And then England, Tonga, you're going to be at the game?
Yeah, yeah. Always England by 50.
England by 50. I love that. Wales, South Africa. Now, that is a good game. Wow.
I think I'm going to go with South Africa just because Matt Stevens is in the pod and he's South African.
Well, he's English.
Well, he's South African.
Okay. And then France, Argentina to see out Saturday night. Yeah, another good game. Wow.
I'm going to go with France just because Benders lives in France.
And then to round off the weekend. Oh, my God. This is probably the best weekend of fixture we've done in a while. Scotland versus Australia.
Yeah, Scotland.
You're going Scotland?
Yeah, I am going Scotland. Yeah, yeah.
Wow, okay.
You know, for Wills, for Watson, yeah. For Hastings.
Okay, well, if you boys...
So that is Japan, New Zealand, England, South Africa, France and Scotland... Put that in a TriCast and you'll win a lot of cash.
Well, if you guys want to bet against Archie Curzon or any of your friends, get your mates to download the Settle It app this weekend and take money off them. Have a bit of fun around the rugby and enjoy yourself. Archie, that was wonderful.
Cody, that was a fantastic podcast.
Beautiful.
You know, I'm going into the change room after that pod and saying to boys, listen, yeah, we are in a purple patch. Don't let me down.
Yeah, keep working on your breathing.
If anything, just crack on.
Well, what do you
just crack on.
Just crack
on.
Yeah,
but that's my favourite saying I use at the moment.
Why is
I'm
it?
Talking to my team. Because it's the right time of the year to be using that. Listen, guys, just crack on.
Just crack
because
on.
Because it commands respect. They know the year's not finished yet, but they need to crack on.
Don't get carried away with silly yet. Just crack on.
In fact, that's all I'm saying. I'm going to the change room after this podcast. I'm looking at everyone. I'm saying, boys, well played. We just need to crack on.
Just crack on. Yeah, three simple words. So, Archie, you off to Twickenham this weekend with the boys?
Certainly am, mate. On the old Lasharoo with a couple of guys from my office and expecting a lot of beerios and a lot of good times, actually.
So things are going to get incredibly loose at HQ.
Yeah, they could. I expect a lot of people will see me doing a few bum funnels. The only difficult decision I've got is, you know, which barber jacket to wear because it will be cold there.
It will be cold.
But I'm looking forward to seeing the boys and it's actually the only match I'll be able to make this autumn internationals.
What, the only one you can afford?
Ah, good one, Cody. I'm absolutely loaded. And if I wasn't, okay, my dad is. I'm hosting the Australia game and then the South African game at the Imperial Pub on the King's Road. 50 people will be entering into the Clapham Falcons Clubhouse and we will be getting absolutely steamrolled.
What, private room, private screening, boat races, more lash, everything?
Yeah, DJ after. Yeah, it's going to be decent, mate. And tickets are still available. Just chuck the link in.
I'll put the link in the bio. So, guys, not a problem at all. Obviously, I say it every single week, but we've got some wonderful guests lined up for the rest of the season. So
we have got one particular one. It could make our Q4.
It really could make our Q4. Guys, thanks so much for listening. Until next week, enjoy the rugby this weekend and don't forget to download Settler and take some money off Curzon.
Onside, yeah.
There's a port on a western bay and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town and she works laying whiskey down. They say, brandy, fetch another round. She serves them whiskey and wine. They'll say, brandy, you're a fine.